Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live on this beautiful Monday morning from North Carolina. And I want to thank each and every one of you for wishing me a happy birthday yesterday. Good time with family on a relaxing, somewhat relaxing Sunday, as Sundays are always focusing, especially towards the end of the day, on gearing up for the rest of this week, or for the start of the week. And really in seeing what occurred with this administration and some things that happen around the world, we really have to refocus ourselves on what the Lord would want us to take up as our portion in this season as we're coming out of Purim and understanding that we're called for such a time as this to be here on this earth. Is I want to start off in scripture, and as we're going through this reordering our day, of understanding of getting that, of the importance of getting in that right alignment with the Lord as we end the previous day, as we start our new day. And I want to start off in Mark, because this is I'm going to read some things in scripture, and then I want to play a video and remind us of some prophetic that we have about this season that we're in. And I think it really lines up again. The Lord works in mysterious ways. And one of those is how he lines things up and brings things about. Because when I started, I'm following these prayer points, and every day they're starting to line up with the events of the world and starting to come true. And it'll make more sense here once I go through some things. So I want to start off in Mark 14. And Chuck suggests reading the whole chapter of Mark 14, but I want to focus in on this point because it really has to go with the prayer point for today that he lists in his book. And it comes in the portion of the story that Mark writes about of Jesus in the Last Supper with the disciples. And then he goes afterwards to the Garden of Gethsemane after Judas has gone his way to get the soldiers to come and capture him before the crucifixion. Well, we see here in starting in 32, Jesus goes into the Gethsemane. He talks about how he feels grieved. In verse 34, he says, "And he said to them, to the disciples, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And that's similar to what the Lord's been telling us, is he's grieved about what the things are going on in this world. And he's called us to keep watch, take back the night. And then he goes on in verse 36, 37, when he comes to the disciples, you know, he spent his time with the Father. Okay, we see what happens there. He's asking, you know, Father, remove this from me. But then the portion of where we're at is in verse 37, of when he comes to the disciples, and he says, he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Keep watch and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then again, he goes away and prayed, and he comes back in verse 41 and says, and he came to them a third time and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Is it enough? The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. And I point that out because the prayer point today is let's declare that Jesus will meet us in the midst of our storm, as he did the disciples. And let's pray that we're not like the disciples. Let's say we wake up. Let's take back the night. Let's awaken this. And look, we can sit here and be frustrated and angry, you know, that this person's doing this and that person's doing that. But we have to focus in on ourselves. And okay, what are we doing? Are we doing all that the Lord's told us to do? Are we standing up like Esther, being in the places where God has told us to be? And so let's cry out for Jesus to meet us in the midst of these storms, like even like he did to the disciples there in the Garden of Gethsemane when they should have been praying, but yet they fell asleep. Especially when the hour is at hand, is do we have that heart of the Father to understand what's going on in this season and potentially in this season and what's to come? And so I say that, and it leads me into this point with, I want to go back to the prophetic that Jake has. I mean, make sure it doesn't play yet. I want to play what he says here, because this is after his comp of what Daniel said, Daniel Pierce says about the dream, about the potential misfire. And he says, this is what we talked about it before, but I think it's becoming more and more relevant now than in the past. What I mean by that is I'm saying we're seeing this dream reveal some things that are happening behind the scenes. So let's listen to this portion of this clip. After he gives the dream, he gives this warning about what to pay attention to in the news and in the world about what's happening in the spiritual realm.
Wherever you're out there, you need to know this thing with the Ukraine is not what it all appears to be. You need to understand we are coming into different times. You need to be excited, because the Lord's already told us this morning, you can praise me in to inhabit your place and cause everyone around you to see you. This,
and that's a redemptive, the redemptive portion about what's going on. As darkness increases, it's a time to press in and praise the Lord so that his glory can flow through us and out, and his light can flow out to those around us. But here's the important part here, what he says.
It's a time we must be aligned, we must be ready, we must watch Israel, and we must know this is a bigger thing going on that could lead to a trap. Now, Father, we...
Again, pay attention to what he says there. This is a bigger thing than what we realize. It's not what it just seems in Ukraine with Russia. He later goes on to talk about how Russia will try to use this to position itself into a more authoritative, more so powerful, not necessarily authoritative, powerful position in the world, becoming a stronger world leader, trying to at least. And so we want to pray that, as he says here, that the Lord would you know, cause a misfire with Russia in this Ukraine issue, but also watch Israel. It's a very key warning. And last week we talked about on our podcasts and our noon prayers of the three different types of spirits. We've been saying for the last couple of weeks, the Amalek spirit, the spirit of Greece, and this Prince of Persia are rising up in this season, and we're seeing that. And so I point all that out to give us a grasp of, okay, if that's the case, then what's really going on? And so with that, we want to be sober about what's really happening in the world involved with Ukraine and Israel. But let's see this. I'm going to first start off in Ukraine, in Russia, and Europe, and then I'm going to talk about some things that happened in Israel that are very alarming that we need to watch for and pray for, more so for this administration, because they're going down a path that is very alarming for us as a nation. And then I want to close out on some things at home. So I want to start off in Ukraine here. There's been fighting continually, but there has been reports that a seventh, last week, the last update I gave was a fifth. Now they're up to seven Russian generals killed in Ukraine. There's also reports that Russian troops have pulled back into Belarus because they're trying to regroup and come back in full force for Kiev. The Jerusalem Post is saying that Russia basically wants to divide Ukraine like a East-West Germany after World War II and more of the modern Korea scenario where you have a North and South, so that they can control certain portions of the seaports in the Black Sea to try to really cut off Ukraine. And doing that would literally just destroy Ukraine's economy and functionality as a government to be able to do anything. Now, we see this happening. The wars continuing to go on. The mishaps from the Biden administration. Biden himself speaking. Every time he opens his mouth, the administration has to come back and cover for what he says. So there's a lot going on there, and I'll get to that here in a second. But we also want to look at how the EU is saying they believe the US and Iran are ever close to signing and finalizing a deal of getting back into the Iran nuclear deal. That's alarming, not only because the deal itself is bad, but because Russia is involved heavily in it. And then now what is also coming out is that minor details within this is that under that deal that the US wants to get back into, Russia is allowed to buy the excess uranium that Iran, number one, is not supposed to have, but then is not supposed to be able to develop. So you're talking about a time where we're worried about Russia using chemical weapons, nuclear weapons, that they're going to be able to buy more from Iran if we go back into this deal. Very alarming. And with the EU saying that Biden and its administration is inching closer to finalizing that deal, that's something we want to pray for them about now and in the days ahead, because that's very, very alarming of what's happening. Then another point of, and I point these things out because the Biden administration is showing a lack of control of understanding what's happening. There's been the news this week, over this weekend, that the Biden administration has supposedly committed for the U.S. and these U.S. companies to increase production to help the lack of supply that Europe needs to fill the gap. Well, Forbes points this out and asks the questions of, well, did the Biden administration ever talk to oil and gas companies about this? I know it talked to like Walmart and Amazon and a couple other companies, but did it talk to them, see what they needed? And we talked about it last week and 2 weeks ago about how they needed to increase the sale of oil and gas leases on federal lands and in the Gulf, which is very huge. So when there's no future, it's kind of hard to say, yes, we can actually meet this need that you're saying we can meet. There might be other alarming scenarios coming down the line of, well, will the Biden administration try to nationalize and seize these companies because, well, you didn't make us look good, et cetera. I don't know. And that's a theory, hypothetical scenario that's out there. It's far-fetched right now, so we'll see what actually happens. But we do need to pray for this administration to have wisdom on this scenario and a host of others. And then I want to focus on Israel because there's some things that happen in the Middle East that are quite alarming. So we're seeing Russia starting to increase, and now there's rumors. Well, there's not rumors. There's verifiable evidence that, again, Iranian-backed forces out of Yemen are continuing to attack Saudi Arabia. This is from the AP News. This is verified. So we're seeing at the same time we're trying to get back into this deal with Iran on the Iran nuclear deal, remove the Iranian National Guard. Also, the same group who did this attack was on a terrorist watch list. We talked about a couple weeks ago how this same group, the Houthis, attacked Saudi Arabia, these same facilities, similar facilities, to try to limit them from being able to produce oil for the rest of the world. This is the Prince of Persia rising up out of Iran. And so we're seeing these attacks. Also, not only do we have this happening in Saudi Arabia, but we also have Islamic terrorist organizations rising up and attacking civilians within Israel, kind of deep within Israel. And now Israel is on high alert, and they're looking at what has happened in the Hadera region on the north west corner of Israel near the Mediterranean. So there's heightened sense of security with what's going on out of Iran. And again, these ISIS groups backed by out of Yemen, trained by the Iranian National Guards and a host of areas. While at the same time, this last weekend, the Secretary of State Blinken was meeting with Palestinian authorities, and then also some other groups were meeting in Israel on behalf of the Abraham Accords. So we're seeing all this play out. We, one, want to pray for this administration that they have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Iran, and China. They're showing two sides to the story. There's what's really going on, and then there's what Biden says is going on, and then they have to come back and try to regroup on it. It's a total just mess, which is leading into the fact that the chatter, if you remember President Trump, you know, at the end of his term, they were talking about the 25th Amendment. Well, this is starting to come back up with the Biden administration. A lot of it is being pushed by the GOP. At what point is Biden's dementia going to get to the point where Democrats start saying the same thing? And then the question is, okay, do they want Kamala Harris to be put in place? Do they look at her and say she's incompetent enough and try to build up a scheme and remove it? There's the Chris Reed word that Biden won't finish his first term. What does that look like? How does he get removed? It's a different question that wasn't revealed. But again, one thing that is being very widely reported is that we know that, as you can see this last weekend, while Biden's out there talking, saying things that he shouldn't be saying because he's in no state of mind to be under this amount of stress, to be under this type of schedule. And you see why they're hiding him, why he goes to Delaware so often, why he doesn't take questions from the press. You're seeing it. So we want to intercede for a blanket of protection to be around him during his moments of dementia, because this is not only affecting us, this is affecting the world. And we have to, as Todd Trahan talked about, we have to deal with the things at home, and it starts in the church. We have to repent for the things that we're not standing up for, that are these biblical foundations. But we do have prophetic to walk this out of praying protection for him during these moments, because when he's in his right mind, he is better than what his administration would want to try to do. And so we see this happening right before our very eyes. And no matter how we feel about how he got in office, about him as a political leader, we still need to pray for his protection and that his administration doesn't take advantage of him during these moments of weakness. Okay. Now, a few things on the home front that's going to be pushed this week is, I talked about it last week. This is it's going to be a bigger push of the push for legalizing marijuana at a federal level. And this will cause a divide within the church. I think people are unaware of the depths of how certain leaders feel on this. And so I think it's going to start coming up more and more as this push is being made. And again, they're trying to rush this through before the midterms, before even they can try to get Jackson confirmed as a Supreme Court nominee or Supreme Court judge, excuse me, to fill Justice Breyer's position. There's also talks of basically punishing China and making America more competitive with China and putting somewhat tight tariffs on China to help bolster some microchip, as you can see here, some microchip companies to help fill the gap of not being so global on some national security measure industries. And then there's also the bills that are coming up that'll most likely get delayed and play out over the next couple of weeks of banning Russian trade and banning trade and purchasing of oil from Russia. Even though right now gas and oil companies are doing that because they're able to do it on the black market and get away with it. And they're also going to try to push this week and more so next week the confirmation of Ketanji Brown Jackson. So these are things here on the home front. Now, I say all this, these are battles. It's, you know, this is why resting was so important this last weekend as we come into a continual need for prayer and focus on what's happening in this nation. But I want to end on some good things and one thing to focus on in the days ahead is, while, you know, I talked about last week and ended on, you know, there's things that cause us to be frustrated, and then we need to use that to seek the Lord about how we get involved in this day and age. And I want to point to some examples of some things that have happened that I think are good. And if we don't live in this state and we don't see our leaders pushing for this, it's something to gather local communities, neighbors around to give an example of what can be done. Because a lot of times in politics, if you're just going to complain, people are going to stop listening to you. You have to offer solutions. You have to offer, how do we, you know, solve this problem? And a lot of times the reason we see these crazy ideas being pushed is because that's the only solution that is being offered to politicians. And so it's great to be educated and aware of what is something good. And this last weekend, Governor Ron DeSantis put out signed a bill, requiring transparency for curriculums in Florida. And I want to play this clip because this is straight from the horse's mouth about what he said about what's going on in the state of Florida.
Some books in some of these libraries. I mean, you're talking about kids in middle school. Some of the stuff that has ended up there, incredibly, incredibly disturbing stuff. Now, you have some groups that want to take away classic books like To Kill a Mockingbird, but they want things like Gender Queer, a Memoir, which is a cartoon-style book with graphic images of children performing sexual acts. That is wrong. That has no place in the schools. They want to eliminate some.
I should have given a graphic warning on this if you're watching with kids, but this is what's being put in schools. And I want to read this statement from a parent that was put out by the governor. It was a parent out of Orange County, so northern, like Orlando area, Florida, who said, "Recently I discovered one of the most disturbing pornographic books in my child's high school in Orange County. After some research, I learned that an alarming percentage of high school and middle school library books contain similar material. It is appalling that removal of pornographic and sexually explicit books has even been cause for debate. I am thankful for the governor and that has the courage to lead with integrity and to partner with parents as we strive to raise the standard of excellence in our education system. Our students deserve to have high quality academic rich books at their fingertips, and under no circumstance should they have access to graphic pornographic material at school." That was from a parent. One of the best things that happened about COVID was parents started to realize what was being taught in schools. It's an alarm, but it's a time to realize, okay, this is despite all the other issues that are out there, this is an issue that, as we saw in Virginia, that whether you lean right or lean left, parents can get together and vote people who would allow these things out of office. This is not just bashing one side or the other, because there are some Republicans who are fighting for the right of schools to have these type of books in office, just as well as there are Democrats. This is a time to say, as parents, those who get back involved with the school board saying, we don't want this. And this is a great example of what to say to a politician of what can we do about it. Why don't we do something like this? Make it transparent. Make school boards and officials forced to be transparent about what they're teaching and what books are in the schools. And if they fight back, okay, now it's time to say, look, you have the opportunity to remove these yourselves. If you don't remove them, we will remove you via the legal way of removing you from office and these positions. That has been happening and needs to continue to happen, because they're ignoring even laws that are being put into place in Virginia, number one. So this is a great example of what it looks like to stand up for righteousness, to get out of the mud, to have that brave heart and fight back for the innocence and freedom of parents to be involved in their child's education. And know that there are some on the opposite side who say the exact opposite, that parents don't need to be involved. They need to let the state deal with things. And that goes for a host of other areas that they believe that same type of mentality, that the state is the Lord, the state is the best parent. And in every situation, you need to let the state decide. And so good news there. Another good story out of Utah is that the governor tried to veto, Republican Governor Spencer Cox tried to veto the state's ban on males playing in women's sports because they consider themselves to be a woman. Well, the state legislature said no. They overrode his veto, and the Republican governor in Utah is getting backlash from it. He was going down this idea of the LGBTQ philosophy, trying to be pushed and allowed it to be put in schools. And part of the reasoning was because the NBA owner of Utah Jazz and one of the high up officials there said, well, we might lose the All-Star game. We might lose this and that. We have to, you know, not be looked at as homophobic, xenophobic, and all this stuff. And look, at the end of the day, is if the NBA and all these sports teams and all these businesses are going to go that way, let them. You go woke, you go broke. That happens. And then also the fact of, look, this ideology of LGBTQ type stuff, it's one generational. It is not multi-generational. It ends with those people. And what allowed these sports leagues to grow and to be the empires that they are, allowing athletes to play a child's game and get paid millions and millions of dollars, is because they geared and it's focused on families, because that's how you raise up a fan base. You don't just focus on one person. They used to focus on the head of the household, which would bring the kids in, teach them, garner, and that's how you create a generational fan base. And they're getting away from that because of fear of losing one little game. And so good on the state legislature in Utah to stand up against a Republican governor. Again, this is not about Republican. A Republican governor wants to allow males to play in women's sports because he didn't want to offend people and he didn't want to, quote unquote, lose business for the state, even though the state would lose more business if they gave into this. So kudos there. And then one of the things to watch out for, we talked about it yesterday, is with all these illegals crossing the border, the the head of the Border Patrol talked about how over the next 30 to 45 days, there is an estimate of at least 7,500 daily average of people who are trying to come into the United States, and that we need to help them. We need to gather them in, not questioning who they are, not questioning why they're here, not testing them to see what type of diseases and other things that they're carrying and bringing into this country. We just want to put them on buses and ship them to the heartland of America, shipping into the East Coast, West Coast, North, South, like everywhere. And this was on CNN, and CNN was aghasted. They were shocked by the realities of what are going on. And yes, there's something to say about we do need to secure the border. But if these people are coming, let's reach out to them. Let's build relationships. Let's get them saved, because they have a destiny to go back to their nations to spread the gospel of the kingdom to the nations. And if we can't go to the nations, then what better way to reach out to the nations that God has brought here from whatever scenario, so that they can be healed, they can be delivered, they can be saved, not only for the future of our nation, but for the future of their families and their nations as well. Because it's going to be harder for somebody in America to go over there with an American passport, if you understand what I'm saying, to reach out to the Middle East versus somebody who is of that nation, from that nation, understanding the realities of the culture, whereas you and I wouldn't, and be able to spread the gospel there. It would be better strategic wise, if you're looking at you're playing a strategy game there. And then last thing, talked about it last week, how it happened at the Supreme Court level, of how in Wisconsin, the Supreme Court struck down the Wisconsin State Supreme Court's rule on using a unconstitutional redistricting map for the coming elections. And so the Maryland court followed that precedent set by the Supreme Court and did the same thing in their state, saying that the Democratic members' drawn congressional map is unconstitutional because of how they came up with it, which is based upon checking which way the wind's blowing, not by looking at facts, not by looking at community numbers and shifts. And so we're seeing justice rise up in this season. And all it took was last week, a ruling out of the Supreme Court saying, no, this is illegal. So now courts are starting to follow this. This is huge coming up to the midterms and for future elections as well, as we see with the census previously taken, and then also the future elections after that. So there's the good, the bad, and then the things we need to pray for, and everything in between that we need to focus about on this week as we continue to stand for this nation and the office of the president. So I close with that on a good note of, even in the midst of this darkness, there is light. There are stances and people who have backbones, and they're standing up, maybe slower than what we would personally feel should be taking place, but it is happening, it is occurring. And we need to trust in the Lord's timing, and like the disciples, need to take heed, take watch, be awake, as Jesus comes to us in this time and this hour, where we really need to be praying, for what the Lord wants in this season. So I close with that. Bless each and one of you for following along. Don't forget, we'll be back today for our noon prayer live online, and then also for the rest of this week on Tuesday and Wednesday. And in Shreveport, Bossier, we'll be back in person. So I close out on that. Blessings to you all, and have a great day. See you later.